My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to Artist Spotlight. Powered by our good friends over at Two Loss Distribution. If you're looking, I know you big time, but if you want to put out records, you should do a Two Loss Distribution.
Let's chop it up.
It's $3 a month, and they keep you get all your money. Oh, yeah. I can help you with that, but let's get into it. Let's give it to our guest today. This is one of my favorite producers, not because of how he makes music, which he's good at, because I just love his demeanor. Like, he never, you know, he never makes a big deal of himself, but he's a big deal. He doesn't try to come in the room and demand people look at him, but everybody looks at him because he's just a really cool guy that I haven't heard anybody say anything about. So let's give it up for my brother, your brother Rick, and everybody watching, brother, OG Parker. Let's go. Yes, OG, first of all, how did you get the name OG Parker?
Yeah, so basically, like, when I linked with OG Macko, you know, he started the OGG Collective.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Didn't know that.
Fact. So, like, unfortunately, I don't know why I was on some corny shit, and my name was Pretty Boy Parker. And then I was like, you know what? That shit ain't gonna go.
Yeah.
So then when I got with OG Macko, I was like, you know, I'm gonna just change my shit to OG Parker.
Yeah. I love the name. Are you where you wanted to be? Or did you walk into the journey like, I'm open to whatever comes? Or did you, because you've done what a lot of producers want to do, but you've done it without trying. Like, it's weird how you move. Like, you're a super producer, but you kind of like just real calm and chill. So I'm like, did you know that you was going to be this? Was the plan to drop projects as a producer, artist? Or was it just like, man, I got to do this? Because, like, what was it?
Nah, for sure. Like, I knew I always wanted to be a producer because, like, I was always in the band, marching band, mm-hmm. everything. And then I got to college, and then I was a music major, a graphic designer minor. And then, you know, I just wasn't really rocking with the Georgia State vibe. Like,
gotcha.
I went there for 2 years, and, like, and all the classes, that, you know,
yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I just dropped out, and then I was, you know, I kind of just, like, I was always making beats since, like, the 10th grade. So then I ran into one of OG Macko's homeboys, and then we linked, and then we went to the studio, and him and Key were making Give 'Em Hell at the time, their project.
Yeah.
So then Coach K and P got wind of it, and then he got signed to QC.
OG.
Yeah, OG
Macko.
People
don't know OG Macko is the deal that opened the world up for QC.
He literally spearheaded the Capitol.
No, because what people don't know is that the Migos were signed to 300, mm-hmm. and they were in a bad deal, basically. 300 deals. One day I got to tell people about that. People don't even know how 300 came in. Leo and Todd and Kevin, they came in on some pimp shit the way they did 300. So Migos were signed to 300, and they were caught up in it, and that's what P kind of put all of his time and energy and money into. So they needed a deal. They was looking for a deal, and then nobody wanted to give the Migos a deal because it was so much, and then it was kind of a lot attached to it. So when they did OG Max, did you do a bit, you guess?
I didn't. Brandon Thomas did that.
I said, bitch, you guessed it?
That was a crazy
time.
Oh,
my God. You was right.
It's classic.
Yeah, classic. So people don't know that when they did that deal, you know, they basically leveraged LG Macko to say, hey, look, we broke a second artist. Yep. And he's breaking. And that's how they got the deal, Motown / Capitol / Virgin. because they did a whole 360 deal where they could put out records through Motown, but if they want to put out records through Virgin, they could do that. So that's how they broke Lil Baby. Like, that was the deal. OG Macko spearheaded it. And then he lost his mind or something. They said something happened with him.
I wouldn't say that. I think that he was kind of just like, I think when you just get rich fast and, like, you know what I'm saying, you got a lot
too much
going
shit
on.
Coming at you fast.
Yeah, like, and you know, like, he found Doja Cat. Like, Doja Cat's OGG.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, really? I got the article on my phone right now. It says Doja Cat signs to OGG.
Wow, no idea.
Yeah, he had Larry June, Doja Cat, me, Deco, Brandon Thomas.
Do you think that, not to talk about him, but I'm just asking, do you think that he was too ambitious for where he was? Because you know what I'm trying to say. In our business, like, you can have, like, it's like you have a plan, but you have to also allow it to unfold, right? And because I'm like, I didn't know he had all that. And by the way, I love OG Macko. Like, that was one of my favorite artists coming up out the city. Like,
he's a legend.
By the way, the way he performs, everything about him is crazy. But it was like, he did a QC deal. You walk in the Capitol building, it's a big picture of him up there.
Yeah.
It wasn't Yachty. It was OG Macko with a huge picture on the wall. And then you ask what happened, and it's like, oh man, he did something to his eye, or he did something to hurt himself, or something like that.
No. I think he got in a fight or something, and something happened to his eye and stuff.
Got you.
And then he got a little sick and stuff. So I think he kind of like had to like get away from the music a little bit because of health issues and stuff. Yeah.
Got you.
But he still makes stuff. Like, I talk to him every now and then. I seen him at a Spotify party last year. Actually,
connect us with him, man. I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely a fan of him, and I. Like, and you know, you've been in this shit, 10 plus years now. You know, this shit comes at you. And if you're not mentally ready for it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Especially if you're an artist. Yes. Like, if you're a producer, manager, you kind of get your chance. But when you're an artist and all of a sudden, everybody wants to talk to you. And now you got to answer questions and the pressure's on. That shit can break you, bro.
Yeah, we was in a competitive label. We all in one building. It's me, Johnny Cinco, Skipper the Flipper, Rich the Kid, Migos.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Then they brought Yachty in, and then Baby come in, and you got City Girls, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot going on in one building.
Yeah.
That for an independent label, you know what I'm saying? It's not like that's like Warner.
Yeah. It was like Warner, but without Warner.
Yeah.
And I was saying off camera, so the thing so obviously this Artist Spotlight, the reason why I wanted to do this with you is because I think that you are a great example of what a producer should be, right? You let the music do the talking. Obviously, you create the brand with your name. But what you did was, you was low-key the Manny Fresh of QC. You was like their first in-house producer. That's the first time I heard your name, because that's what I thought Steve-O worked over there or something, where it was like, so I was like, okay, that was a smart move. And then you just went on a complete run. Was that like the plan, or was it like the only option? Did you have other people trying to sign you? Like, what was the situation that made you and your team decide to go with QC as that rather than doing something else?
So at that time, I really didn't have too much motion. Like, I was actually in the production team, and then I left that. And then I met Macko, started going to QC, and then I started working with Migos and Cinco and everything. And, like, really a crazy story is that P just bought this apartment in L.A.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, like, whoever want to use it, you know what I'm saying, holla at me, and then I'll give you the key. You can stay there. So I hit him up. I was like, y'all want to go to L.A. for a week? Went to L.A. for a week. Ended up going to a party, met Chris Brown, met this person, and that's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? But like, that's not even really how I connected with Chris Brown, but like, it was kind of just the network aspect of just being around, and like, you know, you got to go to LA and like make your moves.
For
and,
sure. That's fire. So you really just, that was, QC was just the best option for you.
Yeah, for sure. They were the first people to like really, really believe in me. Yeah. Besides Melina and Steve-O,
for sure, of course. Yeah. I love Melina. I love Steve-O.
Yeah, for sure.
So you decided, you got some Rick, because I'm running through what we have. So you decided that you wanted to, what point in your career did you decide, okay, I'm going to bet on me? And what I mean by that is, like, obviously you're not in that deal anymore. You know, you decided to, you put out the album with DDG, Fire. You just put out the new album. And what makes you decide to go that route rather than chasing placements?
I still think I do both. Like, I try to like make sure that I make beats as well and send to artists, but I do like to do like full projects. Like right now I'm locked in with Young Blue.
Yeah.
We've been going crazy.
That's my nigga. I fuck with Blue.
Yeah.
No, you and him talented. Together. Woo.
Yeah, we got some crazy stuff.
You know what it is? I'll just say he just needs tempo.
Yeah, we got some up-tempo.
That's what I say. He just, because I feel like his voice is so deep and it could fall into that, you know, if he had a little tempo, because he can play in the dirty line. He could play in the street lane if he wanted to. That's what I was saying. Because he can rap and sing. Mm-hmm. Just imagine Tempo with that rap voice. Oh my God. So yes,
what's the difference for you working a full project as to just submitting beats with random artists?
It's completely different because, like, let's say if I'm working like Walking Like I Talking, for example, like that's just a beat I just emailed Quavo. Like I wasn't there for that. You know what I'm saying? Like juxtaposed to like me being with like Blue. I'm in the studio. He's like, nah, don't do the drums like that. Do them like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, no, I want this to be Afrobeat. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's more hands-on. I like that a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? I'll change the chords rather than just, like, you know what I'm saying, making what I make. But I ain't gonna lie. I feel like most of my big songs are, like, just me making what I make at home and just sending them.
The bigger records come out that way.
Yeah, in my career. But some people it's not like that. I feel like a lot of people like Scott Storch, they were more, like, hands-on.
So give us the viewpoint of what it's like in those early days of QC, where you got Rich the Kid, you got Migos, you got these artists coming in, you're a producer. Like, how's the flow been going? Did you know, like, from the inside, did you know he's the one or she's the one, or let's put, or was it kind of like you just was like, I'm gonna give everybody and see what it was? What was the inside of QC like back then?
I feel like pretty much everybody there is like talented. Like, you know, I was in the studio working with Cinco. And then Lucci walked in, and he was like, oh, this is my boy Lucci. Like, he rapped too.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dropped the I Wonder Why song. That went up. And then I started working with Lucci.
Yeah.
And then I did 7 songs on Wish Me Well too. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of just like everybody was kind of just working with each other. I never really cared to, like, nah, I'm not going to give him this beat.
Yeah.
I didn't really care.
You just like, you get a beat.
Yeah, like, you fuck with a beat, hop on it.
Who'd you think you had the best chemistry with, though?
Out of everybody in QC?
Like, who'd you, just period, like who did you, because there's two ways to utilize OG Parker, right? One way is, send me some beats. Mm-hmm. The other way is, let's get in the room, right? So, and we know the outcome is going to be different because we're in the room, but I'm asking, like, who did you have the chemistry with then? Like, who were you like, we don't miss?
Johnny Cinco.
Damn.
Yeah, we used to, like, that's my homie. Like, he used to come to the crib and stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we used to be locked in. Like, I used to go to his house. You know what I'm saying? I've been to his mom's house. Like, we done worked and, like, stuff like that. Like, we used to just, like, just link all the time. That's my dog.
So, let's fast forward a little. We're going to go back in a second. So, what made you decide to drop a collab album with DDG? Because I always reference that to people. I always tell producers, I'm like, y'all are dumb. Y'all not thinking. Like, instead of charging a nigga for a beat, be his partner on the project, own half the master,
make way more money
mm-hmm. on the back end, and it also helps you with your brand because now you can go do that 4 more times with 4 more different artists on the same level, and now all of a sudden you're that. So was that like a mistake? Were you thinking about that, or was it like, I want to do this?
No, that shit was out of nowhere. So like, he had just got signed to Epic.
Mm-hmm.
So Melita had set up a session, and we kind of just started working, and then I just kept sending him stuff, and then I was just like, bro, we should just do a tape.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, say we start dropping some of the records, like you said, Impatient, and like
Patient,
some
of
the
others, favorites.
You know what I'm saying? We start getting features and stuff, and like, cause he has a lot of clout, he got a lot of followers, like, cause the YouTube stuff, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of just use that to our advantage with good music, and kind of just, like, you know, push it through.
So Moments, EP.
Yes, sir.
What made you drop it? What's the reason behind? I know. See, I'm gonna tell you, everybody listening, guys like OG don't make mistakes at this point in their career. Oh, you laughing? We need to talk about this. Everything is intentional.
Yes.
Everything is, gonna lead to this, gonna lead to that. So, what's the Moments EP? What's where you at in that process? How do you? What happens over the next couple of years? Like, what are you at in that process with you?
So this was kind of just like something I just wanted to. I've been working on.
Yeah.
But like, you know how it is with getting clearances and trying to get music videos done and stuff. So like, it's been like couple years in the making. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, I see, like, Mustard be talking about, like, it's hard as a producer to get these records because these artists be wanting for their album.
Yep.
So you kind of got to, like, you know, find the right records that they're not using and stuff like that. So it's kind of been something I've been working on, and like, all the songs were just like really important to me.
Got you. And you got Blue, Lakia, Tiger, Drama, Leighton Green, PNB Rock, Party, rest in peace PNB Rock, Money Long.
Sure.
That's a wider range of, like, people. Mm-hmm. What was the thought process?
And a lot of these records are just stuff like still works. Like, that was something I just did with Ty and Money and Krishan. and it was just like a record, and like it didn't Ty didn't use it for his album, and I just hit him. I was like, yo, let me have this for my album. And he was like, for sure.
Yeah. So was the process a lot of records that you just pulled in? How did you curate it together? Because I know you did that.
Yeah, like I kind of wanted to keep it R&B based, but I kind of wanted to have one up-tempo song going in.
That's so what, like, how hard, like, that got to be hard for you. It's because what you're doing, what you really realize what you're doing is you're establishing a brand.
Yeah.
Like how DJ Khaled establishes the anthem, hood anthems. Uh-huh. I'm so hood. Yeah. Like he was like, that's my brand. Yeah. You know, everything's going to be hood. Like you establishing your brand right now in front of our face by the curation of the project.
It's becoming like this R&B thing. And I don't want it to just be that though, because I feel like I make everything. So like, you know, I'm trying to like balance it. But like I definitely been on a lot of R&B stuff lately.
Got you. Do you feel like your strong point is R&B, or do you feel like it's rap, or do you feel like, what is it?
I like to think that I'm genreless, I'm not gonna lie. Like I make all type of stuff, like Loyal by Party Next Door, that's dance hall.
That sounds like a totally different record than Thought Shit by Meg.
Yeah, I got a pop song with Katy Perry. I got ratchet stuff with Lotto and Meg Thee Stallion. You know, I try to like just keep it all over the board.
Who's your dream collaboration? Two things. I'm asking, it's a couple layers. Who's your dream collaboration as far as making an album with? But who's also someone that you want to get in the room with and produce for their project? Like, who are those people?
Album, I'd probably say Rihanna.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She's genreless too. That's the perfect one.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? Like
Omar,
like,
holla at Melita. Omar, let's go.
I need that. That's my dog, though.
Yeah.
But to work with just a lot of people. Beyonce, you know, I wanna go to another genre. I wanna go Morgan Wallen, you know what I'm saying? Sabrina.
I can connect you with Morgan Wallen. If you cannot connect him, I can connect you with them. His people hit me.
I need that.
Yeah, I can set that up.
I need that.
Yeah. I could make that. So Sabrina, Claudio, who else? Yeah, anybody else?
Sabrina Carpenter.
She's on fire.
Yeah, fire.
I'm crazy.
Fire.
I looked at her Spotify yesterday. She got almost 90 million monthly listeners. Shit, she's on fire.
It's crazy.
So I always ask producers this. Give me your favorite, your top three. No, top five. I'll make it easier. Give me your top five personal favorite records in your catalog.
I thought you were about to say producers.
No, we can go there. I want to talk about in your catalog. Because what people don't understand is that sometimes you might not be connected to a record. Sometimes the way the creative thing happens, it might just be like it was one record that we did that it was so messed up. It was this record Replay by Ayaz. And it was so messed up that the guys really didn't want to promote it because it was like, man, fuck that. And then it started working and it was like, we did that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just asking, like, what was the records in your catalog that you're like the most proud of? Your favorite?
I'd probably say Slippery and Walk It Like I Talk About Amigos.
Yep.
I'd probably say Indigo, Chris Brown. I'd probably say Sweetest Pie, Dua Lipa, and Meg Thee Stallion. And Loyal, Party Next Door, and Drake.
I'm about to say, you better act. Because it's so unique, bro.
Yeah.
It's so different. Like, were you making that with them in order, mine, or was it just you made it and it worked?
That's no order, but Loyal probably the most special because I made it with my roommate from college.
Did you sign him?
Yeah.
Let's say. We friends and all, but nigga, I need to. We got to do the business
that's
the right way.
That's my twin, though.
That's all about that. I'm like, nigga, like, is it hard working with friends?
Some only the ones that are like selfish.
Yeah. Mm. Or to me, I always feel like it's the ones that don't understand
business.
That's shit.
Like don't understand that. Yeah, we're friends, but I'm this guy in this room and I can bring you in under me, but that means you kind of got to be under me.
But right. Friends don't want to be under
friends
you.
Friends don't want to be under you because it feels so like we're weird. Not friends anymore. Mm-hmm. It changes the dynamic.
Yes.
But it's like, no, nigga, like, If I don't do it, someone here is gonna do it because I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You're gonna sign to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you want your friend who put you in the game?
And some friends will sign to somebody who can do less for them than you could.
Just because
you my friend though. Yeah. So I'd rather sign to this person, but he ain't gonna do nothing for me. But it makes me feel better at night.
Yeah, that's kind of what Cam and Mace fell out about.
Basically.
It was like Cam was signed, Mace got hot. He went to Mace for a feature. Mace was like, video. Pay me. Mm-hmm. And then Cam was and like, said, why are you charging these to take out your budget? And then Cam was like, why are you going to do that to me as a friend? And Mace was like, nigga, because they're going to spend it on something.
Yes.
Why not give it to your man? They're going to spend it on something.
I don't understand. I want the money to go to my man's rather than
period.
A label.
Right.
Always. So, I don't understand. So you're I don't want to say this because it could sound bad, but you're an actual producer. Yeah. Right? No, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, some people... Some guys are smart businessmen. Mm-hmm. They're not producers. They sign producers, mm-hmm. and they sign them to under them, and then they can say they produced it.
Yeah.
But you're an actual producer.
Yeah.
So that means that you're a. It's almost fair to sign to you,
yeah.
because you can produce with me. Mm-hmm. You can bring me in the room rather than you gonna go in the room and take what I gave you because mm-hmm. you don't want them to know that I produced it. You yeah. want them to think that we produced it.
It's not like, send me some beats, I'm going to throw my OG Parker tag on it and play it for Chris
that's
Brown.
That's my point. That's
it's
what
like,
I'm trying to
get
at.
We can make some beats together, and then I'll play it for Chris Brown.
Yes. Right. That's why they should sign to you.
That's the difference.
That's
you know
the difference.
Saying?
That's what I was trying to get to. Yeah. yeah.
With that being said, Neutral Records. Talk to us about that.
The big N on your neck. Yeah. Why Neutral? That's a very intentional word.
Yes, it is.
Like when they said bad boy, Rockefeller, those intentional words. Yes. Then here come Neutral. Why Neutral?
Because I want to be genreless. I want to be neutral. I want to make everything.
Don't want no smoke. I'm with everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just want to be a neutral. I want to make everything. I don't want nobody to be like, oh, call him if you need a pop record.
Nah.
Like I want them to just be like, oh yeah, just put any artist you got on your roster with him.
So the plan is to break artists.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's manifest this. Give me the perfect artist qualifications that you're looking for Neutral. Like what? Because there's going to be people watching this that's going to be like, oh, if he just see me, but they don't even know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So paint the perfect artist that you want to sign to Neutral.
Hardworking. Knows how to record themselves. Can songwrite.
Keep going. I love this. It's beautiful. Keep going.
I don't know. Good person.
I'm gonna sum up what you just said for the people watching. Hard work means no excuses.
Facts.
It means you're not gonna give me no excuses. You're gonna do the job, right? Record yourself means no excuses. If we don't have an engineer, if you don't have an engineer, that should not be the reason why you can't make a song. Third one, no excuses. We ain't gonna be able to get no songwriter in here to write a song for you, so you better be able to write your way out of it.
Or at least co-write.
But even if it's that, it's still attractive to a real writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a real writer might not want to write a record for someone that doesn't write and sign to you, because they might be like, well, by the way, this is not, OG understands this. This is the game. Like, why they ain't signed to me?
Yeah.
I'm the one writing to his beats. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you kind of got to be your own person, male, female, rapper, singer. Like, give me, like, I want you to hear more of what you want.
I mean, I really don't care. I don't care if it's a trap artist or if it's a female singer. I just want somebody that's really like dedicated. I don't want to feel like I'm working harder for your career than you're working for yourself.
So where should they be at in their career before they find you?
Oh, I don't care for real. If you fire, you're fired. We can figure it out.
Do you care if they have never put records out? Because you got to understand, intentionally, that matters, by the way. Because it's like, if you talented, you ain't put a record out.
You can't
what
be
the fuck
working
are you waiting
right.
for?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You waiting for me to come in and put it out? Like, you don't even want, you're not willing to go out there and bet on yourself?
Yeah.
That's why I was asking, like, where are you?
Yeah, you're right. I would love to have somebody that's already dropped some stuff, confident, walks in the room like, yeah, this is the EP. I did this all by myself with my producers and songwriters and da-da-da. Like, I just want you to come in and help. Like, I don't want to carry the train. I want to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
I want to do it together.
That's what I'm asking. I'm only saying this because... This show is for artists. Like, this the information show. If you coming up, this the one you want to watch. Mm-hmm. And they'll watch it and be like, oh, man, he looking for me. I'm hardworking. I can write. Nah, y'all missing it. He's saying you have to be just as dedicated to your role. And here's your role as I have to be dedicated to my role.
Because if I believe in it, I'm going to go 100%.
Period.
Like,
exactly.
You'll know when I believe in it. Because if I don't, I'm not answering your text.
Straight up.
So how do you balance... working with, because the game is like upside down right now, you know that, right? Like, it don't even matter if you're working with a superstar or you're working with another artist they're all going out the same way.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, week one, I might get New Music Friday, I might get a billboard because I'm with this artist. But week two, we're going to see that 80% decline.
Yep.
If the record doesn't hold its own. On the opposite side, if you're coming up and you are new and you put a record out and you get 80 spins, 80 streams first day, and then you get 300 the next day, it climbs up, right?
Yeah.
You feel me? So I'm always looking at it from the standpoint of like, you have to be on your incline, or at least trying to, as much as I'm on my incline, because yeah. I can't save you. No one can save anybody. That's what I'm trying to say.
At all.
OG Parker can't save anybody. Ray Daniels, Rick, the Negotiator, we can't save y'all no more. And I wish I could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I came up in a game where you could save.
Yep, you could back
But
then.
You can't anymore. Like, you cannot save someone. Like, it's the people that are going to make their decision and they pick their favorites. You might be working on one artist that's like your main artist, and then they like this guy. And
yeah.
Nigga, I like you, but they like him. Like, instead of you getting mad at me for working with him, you should try to figure out
how to work with
why
him.
Why they like him.
Right. Yeah.
So you get it, man.
I'm tapped in.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you get it, man. Yeah. So when I say that, I'm like, so you sign an artist. What's your approach, right? Like, because we in a game where we're in the new Wild Wild West. So are you signing them saying, I'm going to call my friend over at this label, or my manager works at this label, or we're going to do this, and we're going to try to run the deal up? Are you signing them saying, no, we're going to be standalone, neutral, and I'm going to put the record out, I'm going to help market it? Like, where are you at in that thought, like, in that process?
I'm really pretty open. Like, you know what I'm saying? I signed an artist named Imani,
mm-hmm.
and we pushed that all the way by ourselves. We did, like, a distro with Foundation Media.
Got you.
And, you know, like, I'm independent with Empire with Ghazi, but then I have, like, another artist I'm signing with Nick Cannon,
mm-hmm.
named Trey23. Shout out to my brother.
Yeah, shout out
to him. He's super talented.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just all around the board.
Nick got that golden touch for picking artists, too. Like, he did Kalani. People don't know all the shit that Nick did behind the scenes.
And I'm telling you.
Yes.
I've been talking to him, he a genius.
Yeah, me and him, I just did his show, he did mine. So we've been doing a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. Nick is really one of them ones that you got to tap into, because he understands the grander picture. So you would sign something and put it out. Like, you with that. You'll put it out yourself. So what happened with Imani? Like, where are y'all at now?
We still working, you know what I'm saying? Like, we doing it together. So, you know, I'm putting in my hard-earned money. And, like, they putting up, this show putting up money.
Yeah.
And we just dropped the EP, and then we kind of just trying to keep it going. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to, like, break stuff now.
You should have brought her to the show, man. It would have been dope to have her on this show with you.
Yeah, she live in the UK.
Oh, well, fuck it. Next time she's in the U.S.
Nah, I got you.
How does that work, though? You got an artist in the U.K., you live in Atlanta, and...
She got a visa now, so she come back and forth and stuff.
Got you.
Yeah. She's dope.
But you still got to make sure she has a footprint in the U.K., am I right?
Yeah, exactly. I want to blow up in both.
You got to kind of do both markets simultaneously, because if she leaves to go to the UK to come to Atlanta or the US, then it becomes like, what do they think about you over there?
Yeah.
And you kind of got to do, and she's with you, so she got to do UK shit, but she got to also go to the US to do that with you.
Like Ella Mai, you know?
Yes.
Same thing.
And she was signing Mustard.
Yep.
So what's the ultimate goal? Is the ultimate goal to be CEO of a label? Is it to be producer of a label? And I'm only saying that, I'll give you guys an example. Like, Baby is a CEO.
Yes.
Dre is a CEO, but Dre is really
producer.
The producer of his artists, and he has people that does the CEO work for him, but it's his, right? Compared to Baby, who does all the CEO work and has to find a Manny Fresh to come to produce or whomever. So I'm just asking, like, is the goal to be like, if you had to pick one, would you? And if you did, which one would it be? Would it be to be like, have my own artist and like be the producer of everything, or would it be like to be the CEO and kind of like how L.A. Reid did? He signed an artist and he stopped producing for him. Like, I want to run it. Like, because you could do both. Yeah.
I would kind of say like the middle, because, you know what I'm saying, I run Neutral Records with my brother Stefan. But
Stefan, what up, brother?
I kind of want to do both, though. I kind of like to be hands-on with the music, but still be on the CEO back. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure I can help.
Because that's the best answer, because you can do it. Like, I remember when I worked for LA, the one thing I loved that LA said, he was like, when we signed TLC, we was like, send it over here to us too. Yeah, Dallas, you produce some records, but we gonna do some records too. And
yeah, exactly.
So now you kind of got to tap in, because the nigga who's cutting the checks also is a nigga that's like, I can make it. That's scary times for people, because it's like, they can't tell you they can't do it.
Exactly, because I can do some, but I would love for my artists to work with Metro London on the track, yeah. Weezy or whoever. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind it. You yeah. know what I'm saying? But I definitely still would want to produce on the project
for
too.
For sure. Because that's what you, that's like yeah. your it's my love.
Yeah.
But the other thing is your business now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I fuck with you, OG, man. I ain't gonna lie,
I
man.
Fuck with you too, bro.
Now I want to see you win, man, because number one, you're not afraid to spend money. Mm-hmm. You're not afraid to bet.
Oh, yeah, and I lost some shit.
Everybody man. Wants to win. Everybody wants to win in this game, in this music game. But the people that really win are the people that actually bet. The people that's like, I got tired of people calling me saying, yo, work with my artists. If I could work with your artists, why can't I work with mine?
Exactly.
I could just build mine. Then you start looking at it like, why am I not doing that?
Yeah.
I'd rather make pennies from you than bet on myself and make dollars over here. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Coastal Referee. And I want to ask you, are you...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views. I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. But the only difference is that bet is usually monetarily and is usually having to weigh options between picking between this big artist wants to work with me and I know that's going to be guaranteed money. And then this new artist that I just signed to the UK, I, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's a hard balance.
But if you work with this new artist and it go, you're going to make way more money than if you get one song on this big artist album as a producer.
Say that again. You know they don't saying? Understand that.
If you build something up, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, perfect example, Mustard and LMA.
Yeah.
And running it up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really bet on something and believe in it and it comes with success.
Yeah.
It comes with a lot of monetary gain.
And not only that, it gives you an advantage in the room. Because yeah. now every time you play a record, they know they got to make a decision quick.
Yeah.
Because it's like when Polo the Don was on fire. Nigga, he had Kerry. He had Rich Boy. He played a record for Young Buck. Oh, you don't like it? I'm just giving it to Rich Boy. Even though that probably wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
But you knowing that he can put the he same record, yeah. it makes it a little bit easier to make a decision. I'll get it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Like, oh, you want this record? Usher? Oh, I'm going to get this to Kerry Hilson. Oh, you really want it? Well, Kerry's my artist. I make more money off it. Well, here's $300K for the beat then. That's
That's
why he made so much money, because you had the respect that he had other outlets.
Yeah.
And that right there, to me, that is the ultimate power. Like,
Timbaland said he was going into sessions and just with five beats, and he would just play them over and over and over. And he was like, just wait until they pick one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if they like him or not. You're going to pick one of these five beats I play.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? If you give them no choice, they're going to pick one.
Yeah.
It's Timbaland.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What's the, if you could go back and talk to OG Parker that was green, just in QC, and you could give him some advice, what would you tell him?
That's a good question. I would probably say, learn how to play guitar. I only know how to play piano for real. So I would say, learn how to play guitar. I would have tapped in a little younger.
Use your younger years to focus on your skills rather than cashing in on your skills?
You can do both, I think.
But you did one already. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. You kind of saying, I would have been doing what I'm doing, but I also should have been investing more in my skill set because I knew it would have made me more of an advantage. It gave me more of an advantage later.
Yeah, to you know, a certain session, you know what I'm saying? If they ever needed a guitar player, be like, oh, I got you, I'll just play real quick.
Mm. What separates a beat maker and a producer for you?
I think a beat maker is somebody who, like, actually be on FL Studio and Logic and Ableton and, you know, like, making the beat, doing the drums, programming, and also doing the production part, which would be, you know, like helping the artist, you know, do this, change it. Oh, say this louder. No, do that take again. A producer to me is somebody who just does that vocal performance and like helps find beats and stuff, like, you know, like the the DJ Khaled's, the hit makers, the stuff
I've
like that.
I've never heard that before. You're the first person that ever in my life in the music business ever heard say that.
What?
You basically said a producer is someone that runs the room. Usually people say producers are the people that makes the beats and runs the room. You separated. I like that you did that, by the way. Because I've never heard that before. That's a good perspective.
Because there's people that be winning producer of the year that don't make beats.
Exactly. But I don't think the world knows they don't make beats.
Hell no.
You see what I'm saying? I don't think the world knows. Like, you and I know who actually doesn't make tracks.
But I don't think nobody cares for them.
I think they do.
I don't think the world cares.
I think the fans care.
They don't know.
No, they don't.
You'd be surprised.
But if they find out, here's it. If the right person says it, I don't know, man. I don't think they know. I'm going to be real with you. I don't think they know. I don't think that. I don't think they even. This is my interpretation. From what I hear, from what I'm seeing, it feels like if you went to someone and said, hey, man, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments that if you follow this, you'll win for the rest of your life and feed your family and all you got to do is follow this. Versus me saying to them, hey, man, shit, man, you could just sign to me. I'll do all the work. You're going to make millions. I think they'll take, to me, it feels like everybody rather just sign to somebody and make the millions that they promised them and not have the responsibility of being the face. If this shit fall, it's on you. That's why I love about it. Like, it's you. If it wins, it's on you. But if it falls, you fall flat.
But do you not feel like, I'm just going to use two random people that I feel like are in a different space, DJ Khaled and Metro. I think that they're equally as important in the producer space.
No, no, no. But Metro actually makes beats.
Yeah, and DJ Khaled,
and DJ Khaled puts the records together.
I think it's equally as important.
No, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying usually when you can do both, you kind of, which you can.
Yeah.
You can send beat packs out, but you can also get in the room and make a hit. You've done that. So you're really like the goal. What you do is the real goal. Like, I don't think the producers, like, I think if Khaled could really play the instrument and really press the buttons, he would do it. He just is like, I don't have to.
Yeah. I bet you probably could if you tried.
But it goes back to what you said, though. Yeah. What you said, like, if I went early in my career, I would have taught myself how to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you know that that's going to be valuable later on down the line, especially when you get that pop world. Because in with pop world, everything is pretty much created from a piano or guitar.
Yeah.
Compared to the urban world, that's not something that you know. I didn't know that. You didn't know that. We had to learn that, right? Yeah. But you learned that. That's why you said I would do it. So I just believe that if Khaled could, he would. I also believe a hitmaker could, he would. I think if they could, because it becomes less of a hassle. Now, we in the middle of a record right now with Khaled. That we did the Fat Joe Anita record with Khaled. Like, we dealing with the splits right now on that. And it's,
because some of these like loop producers and all that are weird and extra. And
exactly. So then it becomes that. So it's that. So that's why I'm like, I feel like I've never had a producer that could do both, give them separation. It's almost like pride you take. Like, a real producer does both. That's because you can, right? And then, you know what I'm trying to say? A nigga that can is like...
I'm trying to look at it objectively, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, shit, Khaled got more hits than me.
Yep.
So it's like...
Sure. But Khaled also is the hit.
Right.
And that's what you're focused on doing right now. You're trying to create OG Parker as that, the hit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's smart, but you can do both. That's rare, like... It's rare. How many people can do both? Like, that we know, Pharrell.
Yes.
Timbaland can do both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who
else?
They
be rapping on the songs, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They be doing all that
shit. They can write the record, too.
Yeah.
Like, who else could really do both? Like,
let me think.
Kanye?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kanye can do both. Kanye. Damn, he's a good one.
No question.
Just Blaze, I don't know. I never heard stories about him producing.
He can produce.
No, I think he do.
I just never heard stories like from the inside. No ID.
Swiss Beats.
Definitely no ID.
Swiss Beats.
And Swiss.
Mm. Yeah, they could do both. They could do both. But nigga, we three niggas in the game, veterans, and we looking for the names. Like,
and it's the biggest one. So
and it's the biggest. You see what I'm trying to say? So the fact that you could do both and you still separated, I was like, damn, you really a stand-up guy. That's some stand-up. Yo, nigga can't wait to say, I am... classically trained. I can do it all. Yeah. Nigga can't wait to say that. I was just listening to an interview with somebody, and by the way, talent, stop bragging on everything you could do.
Yeah.
I was just listening to this interview with this guy in a Breakfast Club. And he was bragging so much that I just had to go listen. And then like 20 minutes into the interview, and by the way, he's fire. Mm-hmm. But after 20 minutes into the interview, I was like, I wish he didn't say that. Yeah. I wish you didn't say everything you knew. Sometimes let it be magic.
Yeah.
Like sometimes niggas want to let you know I'm a scientist. Yeah. I just dressed like a magician. This. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And now I'm a genius. And I knew that when I went in that room. And it's like, that's cool, but leave some to the imagination. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's why I don't really like to say nothing. Like, and then when the record come out, I'll just post a video on YouTube making it.
Mm, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so the next 2 years, this is Artist Spotlight. We talk real technical things. Like give us the next 24 to 36 months goals for OG Parker, Neutral Records, and also the moments, like just like what are the goals that you have?
So some goals I would say is trying to get like a JV to where I could help get like a lot of my
publishing producers. JV or label JV?
I want to start with a publishing JV because I got 7 producers signed to me. So I want to help get them some pub deals and stuff.
Mm.
And then, of course, the stuff with Nick, with yeah. Trey 2-3, get that going. I want to drop another album.
For you?
Yeah. So
okay.
This was my project with Empire. So I'm a free agent now, trying to just figure out the next step, you know, saying what dropping my next album. And, of course, my clothing line, I just started a hat brand called 7.
By the way, yeah. I'll clap for that. I ain't going to lie, y'all.
Shameless promo.
You can always tell. I say it on the show all the time. You always tell what someone is out in life by how they dress. Are they keeping up with the fashion trends? That mean they still getting money. They still relevant. When you see them dressing like 2018, that's because he stopped making money in 2018. You know I ain't lying, right? You can look at nigga and tell. Oh yeah, I know your hot era.
You could tell.
Yeah, when you came in here, saw stuff. Why clothing line?
I've always been into fashion. Mm. I had a clothing line in high school, so. That's something like I always wanted to do. And then I really look up to, you know, like Pharrell, Kanye and stuff like that. You know, I remember when Kanye had Pastel, then, you know what I'm saying, linked with Virgil.
Yeah.
They was doing all that stuff with MCM, all that stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just like to just see how it grew into Kanye having Yeezy and how big it is and how Virgil did Off-White and Pharrell just Bape and Nigo, all that stuff. Like, I was always inspired by that.
So what's the plan for you to break into that? Because to me, that's really interesting. Mm. And I feel like this is what we do on Artist Spotlight. We can help. So I'm just trying to understand how do you connect the producer to the fashion guy? How do you connect those? Because they got to help each other.
Yeah, for sure.
They have to. Like, I'm just curious on what is your thought process to how do you connect those?
I think it's a process that you kind of got to go through, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, just trying to get your stuff in stores. Like, I've been reaching out to a lot of stores, trying to get it out there, doing a lot of photo shoots.
Yeah.
And just building it up from scratch, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think everybody just automatically connected Pharrell to Bape. I think he had to try to, like, you know what I'm saying? You kept seeing him in the videos with the Bape jacket.
I'm glad you brought that up. It was one thing that Pharrell did that was the most genius thing he's ever done. He called himself Skateboard P.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever seen Pharrell on a skateboard?
No.
He understood. Pharrell rides bikes.
Yes.
He rides BMX bikes. But he understood skateboard culture. He attached himself to it.
To the skateboard culture.
And then his clothing line became the sneak attack for that culture in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Right? So that's why I was asking you, because when you said producer, I think that the one thing, the mistake that I hear you might make is when you're saying, I'm calling over to stores saying, hey, I want to get my clothing line in there. I wouldn't do that. I would call franchises. Direct? Nah, I would call DTLR, right? So this is what I would do about you. I'll call DTLR and say, I want a mixtape, make a mixtape with y'all. Right? Of course, OG Parker wants to make a mixtape with us, dope. And I think we make the mixtape, we should do a collab. We should do a merch collab. Almost not even making them see that it's a clothing line. Like, don't even make them see it. It's like the one thing Pharrell and Kanye did was, to me, they took it from merch, which is short for merchandise, to products.
Yes.
Yeah.
Merch is temporary, it feels like. Merch is like, this is the merch from my tour, right?
Yeah, like a Neutral Records hoodie.
Yes, exactly. Like, yeah. We need a couple of Neutral Records hoodie. I wear them to try to show them. But what I'm saying is that, that's what that is. But if I see that and it's OG Parker, then it becomes different. What's this about?
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say? Like,
but I be thinking like nobody wants to like wear a shirt that says like OG Parker.
No. You know what that's saying? Not what I'm saying. I'm saying, now I was shopping with my son 15. We was doing school back to school shopping. And this motherfucker took me in the store and it was this, you know, I walk in the little store, I'm like, yo, get whatever you want. And then the lady is like, you know how much this cost? And I'm like, how much could it fucking cost? She's like, it's Young Thug's clothing line. What that mean?
Spider.
I don't know. Spider. That shit was like $700 for a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
But my son wanted it because it was who it was associated with. Now, you are associated with so many artists, right? Mm. So imagine if you did a Walk It Like I Talk It fucking packet, right? Like a bundle, right? Where it's like, this is what I was at there. Like finding a way to uniquely attach what you are to what you do, to what you're trying to do, right? It's like 50 Cent in the club video. What was he doing in the video? He was working out.
Yeah.
So when they brought him liquor deals, he was like, no, give me a water deal.
He bought you know the water. Yeah.
It was vertically integrated. So for me, you gotta associate, to me, I feel like because you're quiet, your name is louder than your voice. You understand what I'm trying to say there, right? Like, no disrespect. Like, you know what I mean by that? Like, your name means more than your voice because it's rare you talk. Like, I've been around him 100 times. You might get a what's up, how you doing out of it, but unless you're in the studio with him, you ain't gonna get no information out of you, right? You're not that. You like really are like a closed book.
Yeah.
But the way to open the book can be the clothing line.
Yeah.
Or if you wanna get to know me and what I'm doing, nigga, that's what the clothing line's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Then it becomes, what's the story? Then it becomes like, I'm talking to you. Then it becomes like, I got something for you. I got something for you. It's this guy I'm about to partner with. But like, he can take that Neutral Records shirt and I can put my phone on it and a music video could play. Your music video could play.
Like a QWERTY thing, yeah.
Just like put your shirt, put it on the shirt and then it's the music video is playing on my phone.
On your phone, yeah.
And I could download it, whatever. So I'll connect you with the guy that did it because he just did something like that for me. But like, to me, don't go on a fashion like most people go on a fashion. Go on a fashion like your peers did. Kanye didn't allow you to treat him like he was a new nigga. I'm Kanye motherfucking West. When I go do shows, when I go do what I want, nigga show up. Kanye made me, he changed my whole thought process when he was on stage. And he said, I went to Nike and I said, give me a Jordan deal. You heard the story?
Nah, I didn't.
Oh, he went to Nike and he said, give me a Jordan deal. And they say, well, Kanye, no disrespect to you, but Michael Jordan sells out arenas everywhere he goes. And Kanye said, what the fuck do I do?
That's true.
So if you're not going, if you think, because he sells out arenas to play a game and I sell out arenas to perform, that my sneakers that I got on don't matter, you don't understand culture. That's why Adidas jumped over the Jumpman.
Yeah.
He tried to give him a way in. So for me, leverage OG Parker, leverage the name. I ain't saying leverage the name like name the clothing line OG Parker. I'm saying like, if you called and said, somebody called and said, yo, this is a sweater somebody wants you to wear. Oh, okay, I might wear it. It's OG Parker. Oh, that's my nigga. I'm gonna wear this.
Yeah, like brand it together.
Cause I know he ain't the type of nigga like, look at everybody wearing my clothes. You ain't that type of nigga. You feel me? Like, you ain't gonna make a nigga feel bad. It's almost inclusive energy you give us. So imagine you need to line them up. They all should go together. Do not separate them. If you, anywhere music exists, clothes exist.
Yeah.
That's why I tell anybody with music, I'm like, music goes everywhere. They have a thing called elevator music for when you on an elevator ride for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Music goes all intricate parts of our life. You're making soundtracks to our life. Mm. Why wouldn't you give us the outfit to wear with the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Time together. I don't know how you do it, but like I said, if I'm calling the clothing store, I'm like, yo, DTL, let's do a mixtape together. Yo, what's that? What's the Chic? Yo, let's anybody that sells urban wear that's talking to our co, let's do a mixtape together. Matter of fact, I would have had one of them be my sponsored partner. Cut me a check to be my sponsored partner for the Moments EP.
Yeah.
Moments powered by Too Lost. Okay, what's that? You see what I'm trying to say? Now it's like everywhere you see them, you're gonna see moments.
We got some moments teased too.
Yeah,
we got four of them.
But vertically integrate everything you're doing into music. You don't have to come off your pedestal from one being a super producer to go be an up and coming
clothing designer.
Nah, you can literally say, put them shits together. Mm-hmm. You could say merch, and it's the same amount of money being sold. You could just say merch for a minute. Niggas ain't got to know that they buying your clothing line.
Right.
They could just think they're buying your merch. And the whole time, you counting it against your clothing line, bottom line, and now you go get a deal.
Yeah.
And you become the face of it. I'll also do one more thing. Sorry, I'm giving ideas. I'm sorry. That's what I also do. I will go find. I will go find 7 or 8 producers in the city of Atlanta, that's my niggas, that I fuck with heavy. And I would do a photo shoot with them all wearing my clothes. All my producers, all my homies, not my signed to me, no. Sunny Digital, Metro, let's just do a photo shoot. Mm. Like, and just show that this is what the niggas that tell, like shit like that, where it becomes like, who clothing line is that? And how all them producers wearing it? They could think that somebody paying producers.
Yeah.
Our culture supports our culture. That's why we can't let people use our faces the way they do it, because when we see a black face, we feel safe. Mm-hmm. We see a black face, we feel like, that's my brother, that's my peer. So when we see, so why wouldn't you be the guy to have all these producers together, nigga, with their equipment, nigga? It can only gotta be a clothing line. It could just be them with their equipment. It could be a story. It could be something about their piece of equipment that they like to wear the most.
Yeah.
Get a fucking, I know it's a lot. I don't mean to overload you. Sorry. But I'm just telling you, it's a lot. And Malita ain't here. But what I'm saying is that, imagine if you just, like, you put it together where it's like, yo, I'm gonna go to this Sony makes pictures, Sony makes equipment. Go to Sony and be like, yo, I want you to sponsor a photo shoot. Cause me and 6 of my guys in the city, hype producers, all use your equipment.
Yeah.
Give me money for a photo shoot, give me money for an activation, whatever it is. And then a photo shoot, wear your clothes.
Yeah.
Nigga, you put it together. Why wouldn't your man's gonna wear your shit? That's how FUBU broke. Let the gap pay for the eyes.
Yep.
Put the FUBU hat on.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, but use what you have. Don't run away from what you have and what you are.
Like, try to start over.
Don't try to start over. Yeah. Don't. Everything is, you built your name. When your first hit came out? How many years?
Probably like 10.
You 10 years in. You don't have to start over. You know, like, look what Virgil did. We wouldn't know Virgil if it wasn't for Ye and Pharrell. Nigga, they skipped him up. He skipped them up. He helped them, boom, it's over. Mm. I'm telling you, that's the type of shit I would do. I would just make my shit like cultural moments. Like, damn, that's a fresh ass shirt. Mm-hmm. And you know, they got the new technology where all I gotta do is take a picture of your shit in an iPhone and
find it.
I can find where it is.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. See, we need these ideas written
and
down.
This is the show. The show is recording.
You got this.
You know how many people have been on this show that was like, man, I'm glad we're recording this, man, because I can't wait to watch it. But I'm like, but that's how I would think. How do you vertically integrate who you are into what you do? If it's clothing, if it's whatever. The story goes, Dre walked up to Jimmy Iovine and said, yo, they want me to start. Because Dre was known for wearing Air Force Ones. That's all he wears, white Air Force Ones. They was like, yo, you should sell sneakers. Create a sneaker line. And Jimmy was like, why would you sell sneakers when you're known for speakers? They make $4 billion. Because he's known for that. If fashion is your thing, then we should be doing creative moments where I don't give a fuck if it's artists. You got to be the person that combines art and music, right? You got to be almost like a hub, like kind of what I'm doing now. Like, all I'm doing right now is what we'd be doing if we was in a board meeting.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it on camera. It opens doors for me. Mm-hmm. Do something where it's art, where it's like imagine if it was something like you and a dope ass artist for the city. And it's like the artist is gonna make, and then get a rapper. Like just get a couple rappers to come through. Mm-hmm. Imagine you making beats on stage while behind you an artist is painting a picture.
Yeah.
Sell that piece. Some say shit, but it's just shit that people come into. Even if you don't sell it, it's just 80 people came in the room. Yeah. Now that's 80 people who knows that OG Parker is the face of art, music. He's the place. Now you start introducing the designs. He might make a design that fits on one of your shirts while he on stage.
Yeah.
Now you selling the shirts. Everybody could, matter of fact, they could just fucking hold their phones out, get a code, and take it right to them. They could order the shirt. They sing, right?
Yeah.
Shit like that, where they coming to see you, but you selling shit.
like an activation. You know?
Yes, but yeah. but an activation is nothing. That's what a concert is, bro. A concert is just an activation. I'm performing my songs, and when you walk through the halls, you're going to see people selling things from me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just create, get people in the room.
Yeah,
that's all I would do. Like get DDG, get all the niggas that's work, everybody to wear your shit, and then don't even say it's yours.
That part.
Just put have niggas take pictures of it and be like, yo, I love this shirt. Niggas gonna want to buy that shit.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. We hate when people want to do more. It's almost like, damn, you being greedy. You want that too? it's just naturally our people.
No, no.
But if you the person that's like showing them how to do it in a way where even if they don't like it, they still gotta respect it because you gave them something.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. I would incorporate that shit together with beats, art, music. Nigga, why you making it then? Who in the audience want to come make a song to this right now? The beats made, you know what I'm saying? Now it's not niggas like I'm coming on stage. You know now niggas is there for now, but you know what I'm saying? But now you are feeding them the opportunity. That's how you win. That's what I would do.
You got this, Steffi.
We about to go straight to the drum board.
That's what, but you see, I'm trying to say, Stephen. Like it's like, why spend money? Why spend a dollar on here, and a dollar on here? A dollar on my music career and a dollar on my clothing line. Nigga, spend the same dollar on both.
Yep.
Every artist wears clothes. Yeah. And they used to be fresh. Incorporate them. Leverage OG Parker name. Oh, y'all want to get, oh, you up and coming clothing store and you trying to go big? I'm going to do a record with you. I'm going to go get my friends to do records with you. But I think we should do a collab. Boom. Now they're like, oh, that's dope. I love, that's what they do every day. Now they helping you and you helping them and it's still helping you in the end. I mean, yep. It's yours.
Yeah.
You can go to 7 other companies and do the Fashion Nova, do the same thing.
Yeah.
No, Fashion Nova definitely will pay you for a mixtape.
Yeah, they would.
But make a collab with them.
Yeah. Do both.
Do both, nigga. Yeah. Like, I'm not giving you a mixtape without a collab. Like, they're going to want an OG Parker mixtape. I would have took this Moments mixtape and went right to one of them and said, sponsor this.
Yeah.
But we're going to sell my clothes as a part of it. Y'all make y'all money. I make my money, but it's my branding. That's what I would do.
Yeah. We made our own tees. We made like 4 tees, and they still getting printed. But we definitely wanted to like put that together with the project too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anything, Rick?
Okay.
Yeah. So the last thing, unless you got something, I'm like I'm enjoying this conversation.
No, I'm having fun.
Okay. Cool. Perfect. Well, I got a couple more things. Let me go through my notes. I'm gonna go through a couple more things that I want to talk about that I got written down. Who did you make? I'm gonna name songs. And I want you to tell me who you made the beat originally for. Play that game.
Let's do it.
Mm. So, Walk It Like I Talk It.
You know, it's crazy. We actually have.
Did you make that for the Migos? Who you make it for?
Nah, me and my boy Deco, we actually was just making some beats because back then, I needed some bread. I was like, yo, let's cook up like a 10-pack and like just sell them to like, you know, saying
anybody who rap buy, niggas.
Yeah. But then like when I do that, I always still send them to artists.
Yeah.
And that shit just happened to get picked.
Okay. Loyal.
I was making that for Party.
So that was for Party.
Yeah.
All right. What about Pills and Automobiles for Chris Brown?
Man.
Who you make that track for?
I don't know because that beat was so weird.
It is. Slippery.
I don't know. That's another weird one with like weird ass electronic sounds. So it was kind of like that was kind of like experimental, to be honest.
It is. That's one of my favorite ones that you did.
I appreciate it.
Okay, two more. I'm gonna go with two more. I'm trying to find a good one. Okay, I'm gonna go with my favorite. Where is it at? Impatient.
Impatient. You know it's crazy. I made that with my boy G-Rai, and he signed to Party Next Door.
Mm.
So he works with Party and Drake a lot, and he sent that to Drake's phone, and Drake put a whole bunch of heat emojis. And, like, that drum pattern is the same drum pattern as Sexy Red song. What's that? Mm. Hands on Your Knees.
Mm.
Dang, okay.
You got a Katy Perry record in your catalog.
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple. Well, you got Chained to the Rhythm. Who you make that for?
That's actually was a play from Coach K. He called me and was like, yo, Katy Perry wants a pop remix of this song.
Mm.
And I just made the beat.
So that was made for that?
That was made just specifically for her.
Got you. Anybody you want to work with before we wrap up? Let's manifest something. What artists you want to get in the room with that you haven't gotten in the room with yet?
Beyonce.
Okay.
Rihanna. Like I said, Sabrina Carpenter. Who else? I'm trying to think. Somebody a little different. Who's some new cats?
I want to see you with LaRussell.
I think he loves LaRussell.
I think the way your beats, the cleanness of your beat, mm-hmm. If you understand what I'm saying, like, your mm-hmm. beats are clean. Mm-hmm. Your beats are open. It gives the writer a chance to really write. Yeah. I think you and LaRussell would be.
Because he got bars.
Yeah, he coming here. He come in there to work with me. I want to put it together.
Really? Oh, let's do it.
Let's do it here. Yeah, I want to do something. I want you to do something with LaRussell. Like, that's my bro, man. We're going to do a project together where I'm going to kind of oversee it and really like build it.
Lock in,
So I think you and LaRussell will be good. All right, man. Well, look, man, this Artist Spotlight. Let's give it up for super producer OG Parker. Keep an eye on him, support him. And when you run up on him, tell him you seen him on the show, and maybe he might give you a piece of merch. I don't know. I'm just saying. You see him on the show, he might give you something. And by the way, that meant you watch to the end, right? It's like you actually saw it. Some people be like, you saw it? He ain't asked me for nothing. Nigga, you ain't see the whole thing.
You gotta watch the whole thing.
Yeah, shout out to our sponsor, Two Loss. And who distributed, how do you put the records out?
The Moments EP was through Empire.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you
shout
free.
Shout out Ghazi. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to put some, I got something put together for you.
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Shout out to everybody watching. This is Artist Spotlight powered by Two Loss, and we are out.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.